Welcome to another edition of Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you'd like to join the conversation today. In the studio with me today, we have Philip from the UWF Historic Trust. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
So I always like to kind of set up the conversation, tell us a little bit about the Historic Trust, what its mission is, what its purpose is.
Yeah, so the UWF Historic Trust, we operate a collection of museums in downtown Pensacola. Our whole mission is to collect and preserve and interpret the history of Northwest Florida. And we do that in a variety of ways. We'll get into what all we do, but we've got the Pensacola Museum of History, the Pensacola Children's Museum, Pensacola Museum of Art, and the Historic Pensacola Village, as well as Arcadia Mill over in Santa Rosa County.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So I know that there's an open house coming up. Let's dive right into that.
Yeah, so our open house is coming up this Saturday. It'll be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we've been doing the open house for well over 30 years. And this is just a great way to open up the museums to the community. Everything will be open for free. Mm. We've got a lot of special activities going on. So if you haven't been in a long time or if you've never been down to the museums, this is a perfect opportunity to come check it out. I think we're even getting a cold front this weekend, so the weather should be beautiful, hopefully.
It'll be nice out there, yes. I know my oldest daughter has been at a few of these museums and really enjoyed herself. So let's talk a little bit about the Pensacola Children's Museum.
Yeah, the Children's Museum is a really cool space. It's all hands-on. It's all interactive. It's geared for the younger kids, but it's meant to learn and explore through play. So everything is hands-on. The first floor of the museum is like a miniature historic Pensacola Village. We've got some of the historic buildings in there they can play with. But then going upstairs, there's a little bit of everything. Our latest exhibit is a medical exhibit. So the kids can go in, learn all about, you know, doctors and nurses and, you know, going to the doctor. It can be fun. You know, it doesn't have to be a scary experience. So they can dress up and interact with everything in there. We've got an exhibit all about the Gulf of Mexico. We've got a little miniature Publix, so the kids can load up their shopping cart and go shopping and check out. There's a little classroom in there, a little schoolroom. So it's a really fun space. It's a lot of fun. And the adults seem to enjoy it as much as the kids sometimes too, which is great.
Absolutely. So you mentioned Publix. That kind of brings a question to mind, and that is, do you have a lot of local partnerships where you're working with local businesses on that kind of?
We do. Yeah. So yeah, the Publix is, you know, sponsored through the Publix charities. We've, interacted with the local stores for that. And, you know, same with the medical exhibit. We worked with a lot of local medical professionals to put that together. So yeah, it's a lot of local partnerships and, you know, everything we do.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. The Pensacola Museum of History, what's going on there?
Yeah. So this is it's three floors of exhibits. This is actually housed in the old city hall. All of these museums, they're in old structures. So this is the old city hall overlooking Plaza Ferdinand. So this building has three floors all about local Pensacola history. The first floor is kind of an overview that kind of, you know, paints the broad strokes of Pensacola's history. And then as you go upstairs, you can get into more details. The exhibits rotate pretty often, so we've got different things going on. There's a lot of people know about Trader John's. We've got a room all about the Trader John's with, you know, all the memorabilia is in there. So it's kind of like stepping back in time, but you can learn about yellow fever on the Gulf Coast. You can learn about Victorian clothing and mourning practices. The newest thing that we have going on is the third floor of the museum. We've actually just done some renovations up there, and we're able to restore an old hallway that had been walled up and blocked off over the years. But we actually restored that space, expanded our exhibit space, but also took the building back to what it would have looked like in the early 20th century. Mm-hmm. But the new exhibit up there on the third floor is all about Pensacola sports. It's called Hat Trick, and it's about sports that you may not always think of. We talk about baseball and the history of baseball, which is pretty cool. But we've also got the exhibit talks about boxing and sailing and also, you know, leisure sports. What do people do in their fun time? Mm-hmm. And rumor has it there may be a ping pong table up there. So if you want to come up and, you know, try your hand out. We do have some fun interactive.
It's an exhibit you can actually interact with.
It's an exhibit you can interact with, yeah. And the ping pong table is an exhibit panel. When you look at it, that actually, you know, talks about, you know, some of the history of ping pong. So
that's awesome.
It was once called Whiff Waff.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun fact for you.
How long ago was that? Like the 1800s or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
All right. So Philip from the UWF Historic Trust is our guest. If you have any questions today, 850-437-1620, again, is the number to call or text us. HistoricPensacola.org is the website if you'd like additional information. Moving right along, the Pensacola Museum of Art.
Yeah, the art museum is a cool space. It's another historic structure. It was once the city jail, and Pensacola Police Department was in there a long, long time ago. But we've got two floors of exhibits in there, and the art is always changing out. They do a lot of good work over there to always have something new on exhibit. So, you know, if you were here, you know, a few months ago, might be something new to come check out. We currently have the 70th anniversary exhibit up. So the Pensacola Museum of Art has been around for quite a while. And we will be doing some gallery tours through there with the art museum staff. You can come in at 11:30 or 1:30 and actually get a guided tour through the exhibit with the staff. And there will be some interactive art activities for the kids as well from 11 to 3. So that's another great space. And you know, when you go in there, again, you're kind of surrounded by the history because you can actually see some of the old cell doors are still in the building, and some of the wrought iron staircases are in there. So it's a really awesome space.
So what kind of art projects will the kids be working on?
It'll be interactive art activities. There will be some interactive steam toys. So our curators will be there to help facilitate that.
So steam, science, technology, engineering.
And math.
And math.
Yes.
I thought maybe the A stood for something else, but
art.
I know what STEM is, but yeah. I thought is it agriculture?
Yeah, add the A that adds the art into it.
Oh, okay, art
for the art museum.
There you go, STEAM with art. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for educating me today.
Sure.
All right, wonderful. Phil from the UW Historic Trust is our guest again on Pep Talk today. If you have any questions, 850-437-1620. The Pensacola Historic Village. What's the plan for the village this weekend?
Yeah, so again, everything at the village will be free this weekend. The village, that's where I spend most of my time in the historic houses. So it's a really cool space, and we've got a lot going on. First of all, for the historic houses, we have four historic buildings, the Lavallee House, the Door House, the Lear House, and Old Christ Church. And typically during the week, we will do a guided tour through those buildings. It's about an hour and a half long guided tour that takes you through a journey of Pensacola history. You start with a little overview, and then you see how the city evolved over the course of about a century. But this weekend we'll be breaking it up to where you can actually just go to the individual houses, and every half hour we will take you through those, a quick little tour through the houses. There will be volunteer guides there dressed out in the appropriate attire for the time period. And so those are really cool spaces because, you know, it is the historic structures, but then they're also filled with the historic furniture from the time period.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go into the Lavallee House, you're seeing the structure and the furnishings from the early 1800s. If you go down to the Lear House, it's set up like a 1920s boarding house. So everything in the house is from the early 20th century. And it's exciting. This year, we've been doing a lot of historic preservation work on the structures. So over the last year or so, there's been times where some of the buildings have been closed, especially the Door House. It did sustain quite a bit of damage during Hurricane Sally. So we've taken the time to get the house restored, but also while we were in there working, go ahead and do things like replacing the doors, replacing the windows, getting those functioning again, and just taking care of, you know, historic houses. They're old. They need some work from time to time, just like, you know, the house you live in today. So every few years, we'll, you know, take the time to get in there and really do some detail work and make sure those houses are going to be there, you know, 50 years, 100 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So while the house was closed, we also decided to take the time to do some work and take a look at the interpretation of the houses. You know, you kind of, a lot of people tend to think, you know, history, it's just some basic facts. You know, once you know the facts, you know, that's all there is to it. But that's really not the case at all. We're constantly, you know, looking at the interpretation and the history of the buildings and seeing, you know, do we know everything? And this past summer, we actually had an intern sit down and really do a deep dive into the history of the Door House and the Door family. And, you know, we learned things we'd never knew about them before.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, as historians, we're always constantly researching and just trying to stay current with everything so that, you know, we can provide the best picture of the past to our visitors.
Absolutely.
So if you come down to the Doorhouse this weekend, you know, things will look a little bit different. We've moved some furniture around, and we've got some, you know, new information to provide about the house. So that's always exciting.
How many structures are there total at the Pensacola Village?
Ooh, that's a lot.
A lot? Okay.
I think we've got about a dozen that are actually, you know, open and interpreted to the public. Mm-hmm. But then we also have, you know, another half dozen structures or so that are there but are rented out. So if you've ever come down to the Pensacola Bay Brewery or to the Old English Creamery Tea House, you know, those are structures that we own that we lease out to different businesses. Because having somebody in those buildings, you know, not only generates income for the preservation of them, but just having somebody there using it every day mm-hmm. also, you know, helps keeps the structures up. So pretty much, if you've come downtown to Seville Square, from Seville Square down toward Plaza Ferdinand on Palafox Street, those that kind of 2-block section there, those are the historic structures that we maintain.
Okay, wonderful. Museum of Industry.
Yeah, the Museum of Industry is always a favorite. That one, it's easy to find because it's got the big train out front.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing a lot of preservation work on that structure the last year or so. The train out front is 3 separate pieces. There's an engine, a flat car, and a caboose. The caboose is from the L&N train liner, Louisville and Nashville. The flat car and the locomotive were once owned by the T.R. Miller Logging Company up in Bruton. And so those pieces have been there in front of the museum. I think we got them back in the 60s, and they were moved there in the 1980s. And the exhibit, you know, inside talks about the fishing, lumber, and brick industries of Pensacola. But recently we've been doing a lot of preservation work on the train to, you know, fully restore it again, make sure it's going to be there in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that work was all finished, we actually started constructing a covering for that train cover to keep the sun and keep the rain off of it to, you know, help make sure it'll last.
Mm-hmm.
So that work has all been completed. The train's been fully restored. We've got this beautiful cover over it to protect it now. And again, getting into the research, we've been taking the time to do some more research into the train, into its history. We've learned a lot more about that. And so we have some new interpretive panels out now that if you come to the Industry Museum, you can walk up a brand new ramp and learn about the train, learn about the history. And we've also got a new entrance into the museum as well. This nice curving ramp that walks up into the goes up to the museum. So it's made it a much more accessible building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's important. We want to make sure all of our visitors can get into these museums. And so we've got this new, you know, universal design for the entrance to the Industry Museum. So again, a great time to come check it out this weekend. We'll also have our historic preservationist out in front of the train, giving talks about it. So if you've always walked by and you kind of wondered, you know, what's the story on that train, come by this Saturday. Our historic preservationist will be there to talk about the train and all the great history.
Sounds good. And that's going to be from 10 to 2, it looks like.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And what's happening at the Museum of Commerce?
Museum of Commerce, this one is another really neat building. It's inside is a streetscape of Pensacola and how it would have looked about 100 years ago. So inside...
Sidebar.
Sure.
How would it have looked?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I'm telling everybody this,
paint
but I got to paint a picture for you. We're on the radio. So yeah, you walk inside the museum and along one of the walls are recreations of shops that were in downtown Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a barber shop, there's a hardware store, there's a music store. And these were all structures that actually, you know, were here in Pensacola. So those shops are filled with all the things that would have been. You can look inside the windows and see those. There's also a streetcar, one of the old Charlie cars that ran in Pensacola.
Nice.
It was an electric streetcar that would go, you know, all through downtown Pensacola. So there's one of those inside. There's also one of the first traffic lights of Pensacola hanging in the museum as well. And it works, you know, the lights change and everything. So it's a really cool space. If you've ever been down to Radio Live, that WUWF puts on, that that's where that takes place. And it's also a very popular rental venue for wedding receptions and parties and things like that. But this weekend, it will be open for free as well. And we've also got some special activities going on. You'll get to hear some mountain dulcimer music. That'll be those performances will be going on with the Pensacola Mountain Dulcimer Wildflowers. And there's also going to be some wood carving happening in the space as well with the Florida Bama Cut-Ups Wood Carving Club.
Mm-hmm. So is dulcimer the style? I'm from the north. So is dulcimer the style? Is it like folk music?
No, it's
music,
actually a musical instrument.
Okay.
I'm not really an expert on dulcimers and how to describe it, but it's kind of a lap instrument. It's stringed.
Okay.
So you pluck the strings, and it's this really unique, beautiful sound. If you've never heard one, I definitely encourage you to come check it out. It's a really beautiful instrument.
Nice. And then you mentioned the wood carving.
Yes. Wood carving, all kinds of little cool things that you can do with the wood carving. It's really cool.
Wonderful. So Philip, once again, is our guest from the UWF Historic Trust. If you have any questions for our guest today, 850-437-1620, talking about the open house, talking about the Historic Trust and all the different things that they support and preserve in our wonderful area. I know that you also wanted to kind of cover some of the new updates. I know that the Museum of Industry has some additional things that are happening as well.
Yeah, so all throughout the Historic Village, this weekend we'll have a lot of living history going on. If you know, these are going to be people dressed in the period attire from different eras of Pensacola history. We'll be there all throughout the Historic Village and in front of the Museum of Industry. So some of the things that you can come check out this weekend, we will be doing some open hearth cooking in our outdoor kitchen. This is how people would have been cooking their food back in the early 1800s. We've got some fun recipes planned this weekend. We'll be roasting. If you've never seen a chicken roasted on a string in front of a fireplace, we'll be doing that this weekend. It's pretty cool.
You know, it's funny because I recently saw something like that on TV, and I said to my wife, I'm like, you know, I don't even think that's possible. So you're telling me it is.
It is possible. Yeah, it's always eye-catching. People walk in and like, that's a chicken hanging on a string in front of a fireplace. And yeah, it is.
Talk about slow roast. Hey, 12 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. But I tell you, cooking the food like this, you know, in a fireplace, it tastes so good. You know, it's a flavor you can't really get today unless you actually do it. So in our kitchen house, we do a lot of period recipes from the late 1700s and the early 1800s. Some of them are really, really good. Some of them we try and we're like, I see why this isn't around anymore. Mm-hmm. But we'll be doing those demonstrations. You can come in and talk to our cook and just, you know, learn all about how people were getting their food and how they were cooking it here in Pensacola 200 years ago. But through some other things we'll be having out, we'll be, you know, talking about colonial games. You know, the kids can come out and learn some of the different games that they would have had. We'll have soldiers from all different eras dressed up and having different little camps set up. You can come and interact with them and talk to them. We'll have from, you know, the American Revolution, the War of 1812. We'll even have some World War II reenactors this year, which will be something a little bit new for us.
Yeah.
So we're really excited. It's a good overview of just all the different things that were going on, all the different eras and different aspects of life here in Pensacola throughout its very long history.
With the World War II actors, who are you working with?
So I've actually connected with just a few individual reenactors here in Pensacola. It's kind of funny when you connect with one, they have a friend and they have a friend. So, I go out and do a lot of, living history programs and reenactments in the region. You know, I'll travel around a few hours and try to do a lot of different events here in the Southeast. But my focus tends to be early 1800s, kind of that War of 1812, time period. But, I just kind of happened to meet somebody new, a few months ago. That is also into this living history reenacting hobby that we do, and he connected me with someone that does World War II here, Coastal Artillery.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been over to, I think it's Fort Morgan over in near Mobile, they do a lot of programs throughout the year, and then also the USS Alabama over in Mobile, they do a lot of kind of World War II living history. So I've gotten just to know people in the area that do these things, and so usually whenever, you know, one location is having an event, we'll all go to it. And so you just kind of build this network through going to these different events, because we're all kind of into this fun history. We're history nerds, we like to say. So, yeah. We love it. You know, we like to dress out and live it and experience it and eat the food that they were eating, because it's fun. You know, history doesn't have to be boring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what I tell people. You know, it's real life. It's the human experience. The things that people were experiencing, you know, in the past, we have similar experiences. You know, just some things might, you know, the technology might be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
No cell phones, no air conditioning. I would miss that. But you know, it's just people living their lives. And that's what makes it so relatable.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you an appreciation for what our forefathers, you know, what their world was like. And like you said, how it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our kids today without the cell phones, they kind of wonder at times, can we survive without a cell phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's fun. Yeah, so it's a good way to just kind of step back and just, you know, get a sense of it, get a taste of it. But, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned by, you know, looking at the past. So we mm-hmm. kind of we can learn how we got here today and how we can make tomorrow better.
Yeah. I know that the village has undergone some changes with some new pathways and things like that. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So we've been doing a lot of improvements this past summer. For one, we worked with the city of Pensacola to do some to improvements to Zaragoza Street. So we've got a brand new pedestrian crossing right there in the heart of the village that will take you right into the front gate. We've got some traffic calming things that have been done. Some trees have been planted on the street. It looks absolutely beautiful. But then inside the village itself, we've got a brand new entryway, a brand new archway that'll lead you right into the village. All the pathways through the village have been redone, rebricked. They're much flatter, much smoother. It's a great experience. We've got a nice little bricked plaza in between our historic houses now. So it looks really, really nice. The village has been beautified, but also it's, like I said earlier, much more accessible, much more friendly for all of our visitors coming through and for all the pedestrians walking down the streets and sidewalks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful that the investments continue to be made to, again, preserve it for future generations who want to, you know, yeah. go visit your area. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, like I said, if you haven't been down, you know, if you it's been a long time. A lot, you know, we do all the field trips, so we get all the fourth graders in Escambia County come through the historic village when they're learning Florida history. And a lot of times we'll hear adults say, you know, oh, I haven't been since I was in fourth grade. So mm-hmm. if you haven't been since you were in fourth grade, come down this weekend. It's a great opportunity to see everything. All the museums will be open for free. We've got all these special activities going on. And it looks very nice and very lovely. So definitely come check it out.
Wonderful. And I know that you'd mentioned this a little bit earlier, but maybe we can go into it a little bit deeper. So a lot of these buildings are available for events. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the types of events that are being hosted here. Maybe I see some additional buildings on the website here that that host these events. Just talk a little bit about that and how people would reserve the spot.
Yeah, so a lot of our buildings, you can have weddings or parties, you know, all sorts of different events, really. We've got, you know, Old Christ Church is the big, beautiful white church overlooking Seville Square. That's one of our venues available for rentals. The Museum of Commerce is very large and hosts a lot of receptions. Around the holidays, we'll have a lot of, you know, holiday parties and things like that in there. But then we've also got the Barclay House down about one block further down. It overlooks Pensacola Bay. That's another popular event venue. But even the Pensacola Museum of Art, you can have events in there. We have another building called the Voices of Pensacola. It has our archives on the second floor, but the first floor is a great big open space that's available for events as well. So yeah, we can host all sorts of different events. We have outdoor spaces as well. Fountain Park, which sits just below Seville Square, and also Museum Plaza, which is really in the heart of our museum complex. All these spaces are available for rentals for different events. So you can check those out on our website, historicpensacola.org. Just click on the events tab and that'll have all the information, all the pricing, all the availability that you can check out.
That is wonderful. Well, once again, Philip from UWF Historic Trust is our guest today on Pep Talk. Certainly appreciate you coming in and talking with everybody.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right.